We are going to the book of Isaiah. And chapter 9. Book of Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 1. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation. When at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterwards did more grievously afflicted her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan in Galilee, of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. This is another aspect that we are going to look at in the book of Isaiah. We have so far looked at the sign in the height, the sign in the depth. We have also seen the Lord Jesus as the stone and also as the sanctuary. Now we are going to see him as the light. Now before I proceed, I am going to ask some questions. I would like to ask the question, seeing the Lord Jesus as the stone, and we are in the first section of the book of Isaiah, chapter 1 to 39. We have seen him as the sanctuary, and now we are going to see him as the light. Roland, can you tell us what glories are those glories?
Moral glories.
Moral glories. What do you say, Kenlyn? The personal glories. And official. You hear that? The personal and the official. What you say, Lafleur? Personal. What you say, Dan? Personal. Siobhan, what you say?
Personal.
What you say, Kirk?
Personal.
Sydney, what you say?
From Isaiah 1:37, personal and official words.
That's true. Somebody handed a piece of paper. Okay. Hear the question again. Coming to you, huh? Hear the question. The first section deals with the personal and official glories of Christ. That's true. We have taken up the stone. We have taken up the sanctuary, and we are going to take up the light. The question was asked, those three aspects, what kind of glory is that?
Personal.
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 Personal. Brother Harris. You have to say one.
Personal.
Garrett. Personal and official.
Personal.
No. It's Victoria, right? It's Victoria, isn't it? Patricia. Forgive me. Tell me what personal glory is.
Personal glory is glory that Christ has eternally, because he always was the eternal Son. And just different things about this person that always existed.
Excellent. Now we are going to ask the question again. Dear sister from Canada, Sister Martin. The stone, the sanctuary, and the light. What kind of glory is that?
Personal.
Personal. Okay. Sister Amy. You're going with... what's the young lady next to you again?
Nadine.
Eh? Nadine. Nadine. What kind of glory is that? Personal. Sister Saul. You have... Okay, well, let your husband help you then. Now, we are going to ask... We are going to ask now another question. Repeat what you said, please. Patricia. Patricia. Very good. That's his personal glory. You heard that? You heard that, Nadine? Okay, she didn't hear it. Patricia.
His personal glories are the glories he has as the eternal Son, and the part of who he is as the eternal Son.
That's his personal glory. No, I asked, you didn't hear. You heard. No, I asked the question, the stone, the sanctuary, and the light. What glory is that? Marian, could you tell me, please?
I would say official.
Official. You will say that. That's your final answer.
Yes.
Okay. Brother Andre. Official. Young lady. Official. Daniel. Official. What you say now? Official. What you say?
Personal.
Personal. What you say?
I think some things cross over.
Something cross over.
I think some light. I think light could be moral.
Right? Eh? Light could be?
Moral.
Moral. Okay.
Because we walk in the light.
Okay, we'll get to that. Okay, so something cross. Alright, something's cross. What you say, Brother Martin? Something is crossed. The brother from Northern Ireland.
I think it's a bit cross, but it's more leaning towards official.
Something cross was leaning. Sister Daniel. Huh? She's confused. You see how you're confusing the sister? You're leaning towards something. Confusing the young lady. Huh? We want this thing to be cleared up.
Brother Brian.
Yes, sir.
Jesus will come.
Sister Rochelle. I don't want you to confuse the sister anymore. Okay. You see how we are slippery? We want to be right, and you see you talk as though you cannot be wrong, you cannot be right. So then the dear sister Kalanda is going to clear up everything for us. everything. Go ahead, Kalanda.
Well, official means the glories that he had while he was on earth, right? Just what he's won while he's on earth. I think it's personal.
You think it's personal?
Yeah, you said the light, the sanctuary, and the stone.
Yeah.
I think it's personal.
Personal.
I agree with Yolanda.
You agree with Kalanda? Yeah. She agreed with you. Yeah. I agree with Kalanda. Go ahead, young lady.
I'm not sure either. I'm going with the official.
You're going with the official. I'm coming back to you, Robin. I see you taking everything in, so clear it up for us.
I would say official because when you said the sanctuary and the stone as something that was given on earth, and as he walked in glory, it had a sense as official because that's what he gained as he walked on the earth. Okay.
My dear sister from Willowdale, anyone? Good. Let me hear you, please. You think it's personal? What do you think? You have no idea. So, Roxanne?
Personal.
Jamila? You're not sure. Simeon. You think it's official? Think it's official. Brother, sorry. Go ahead. Yeah?
I'm starting to think it's both.
You think it's both? Okay, the young lady raised her hands in the back.
I would agree because we said the first division is from what? Chapters 1 to 39. Yeah. It talks about the personal and the official.
Right.
So if this is Isaiah
chapter 9. Yeah. It's not past 39, so I don't think it's official. No. We also stated that all the glories that the Lord Jesus won, his official glories, he has as something. He holds as a man. So, we get that clear, right? Roxanne? Rachel? He holds as a man. Now, as a stone, could we say it's his official glory or his personal glory? Eh? Eh? Why you say so, Anna? Why you say so? Okay, as the stone, he became the stone when he became a man. Also, as the sanctuary is as a man. And as the light is not the fullness of light, but what he is when he came here as a man, this light shed forth. If he never came, no man could approach God at any time. But the only begotten that dwells in the bosom of the Father, he had declared him. So God came to us. Let me use an illustration. When the bush burned in Moses' day, the bush burned, but it was not consumed. The Lord Jesus, God revealed himself. God, who is a consuming fire, revealed himself without consuming man. So now, where we will find his personal glory, we are going to look at that a little later. I want you to look at it. That's why in the fall, when we take up these lectures in New York, We want you to be there. Let's occupy ourselves with the light. Okay? And remember, what was shared, you have to remember. Brother David spoke about the stone. Right through the book of Isaiah, there are things, features that presents to the Lord Jesus. Brother Lloyd touched on the sanctuary. Now I'm going to take up the light. Now what Isaiah brings before us, it begins in chapter 8. He tells us in chapter 8 in verse 19. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, shall not the people seek after their God and the living to the dead, to the law and to the testimony? If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And they shall pass through it, hardly be stead and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward. And they shall look unto the earth and be all trouble and darkness, dimness and anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. So now, this is what happened. You know, this is what happened. This is what is happening in the world today. You know, when I used to, years ago, well, not a couple of years ago, there was a lady who used to come on the television. And she says, come to me. She had a Jamaican voice. And what she said, I'll read you, I'm going to tell you if this man is for you, or if you should love this woman. What was her name?
Miss Cleo.
Yeah. Yes. Man, call man. Yeah. There was this lady. And all she used to do, and people used to call her, she used to make millions. But what, she was a fake. She was a fake, and telling people, you bring your problems, man, and I go solve them for you. And she threw down a couple cards and people believe. But this was happening also in the days of Isaiah. People were going to the wizards. People are going, today we'll say the voodoo man and the obeah man. I worked, you know, when I worked in New York, I worked with some Haitians. And not on, and this is true, his daughter was sick. And he took her to the hospital, and the girl got no better. He said, Baptiste, I take in my daughter to the voodoo man tonight. I said, man, let me pray. Pray what? He said, boy, I'm going by the voodoo man, and I guarantee she's going to raise up. The next morning, the guy came. He said, she's okay. The voodoo man take care of what you want, and everything is okay. You think these things are the past? People still read horoscopes. Yeah? And it's rarely, you hear the name? Horoscope. Yeah? People read that and control their lives by it. And God says all it does is bring people into darkness. Real darkness. Trouble. I had a friend called Keith Serres. His mother was a little aristocrat, as we will call, you know, up there in society. And she lost, you know, I don't know if they call it pat in the hand or something like that. In Trinidad, they call it susu. But they call it, yeah, susu. Well, whatever. Yeah. Well, anyway, they had this stuff. And somebody stole all the susu hand. All the susu hand gone. The mother says, she said to me, she said, somebody came in and stole all the susu money. She says, you know what I did? I went to a looker man. She didn't want to say an obeah man or, a wizard. She says, I went to a looker man, and he looked into some kind of stuff, and he saw. And the obeah man teller was somebody close to her. Close to her. Listen, it was my friend, Keith Serres. Stole her money. And you know what happened? The Obia Manin teller was her son. Was somebody close to you? And she says, you know, I had the police came, and the police says, this is somebody inside. But the people thought she stole the money. This is what was happening in Israel. Even like Saul. Saul got so bad, the spirit of God had left him. And he went to a witch of Endor, disguised himself, and said, please bring up Samuel, because I don't know what's happening to me. And people who get to that place in their lives, who believe, listen, I don't know where I'm going, I don't know my direction. And somebody says, why you don't go to the Obia man? The Obia man is going to tell you, or these people, or read your horoscope, and it says something good is going to happen today. Hang on, darkness coming up. And people believe that. People believe that. I had a sister before she got saved. Lived by the horoscope. Well, God says it brought them into darkness. Darkness. And then God says, since they came into such a darkness, God tells in chapter 9 and verse 20 and verse 2, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them that light is sprang up. And if you turn to the book of Matthew, let's turn to the book of Matthew. Matthew's Gospel and chapter 4. And verse 12. We are going to see how the Spirit of God opened up these things. Chapter 4. Now when John had heard that Jesus was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. Sorry. Verse 12. Chapter 4, verse 12. Now when Jesus had...
Can you check the translation, please?
Alright. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is beyond the sea coast, in the border of Zebulun and Naphtali. This, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah, the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region of the shadow of death, light is sprang up. So God is showing to us by the interpretation of the scriptures that the Lord Jesus answers to that chapter, to that verse in the book of Isaiah. He is the light. He is the light. And may we continue. In the book of John, John's Gospel chapter 1. And verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came to be a witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to be a witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteneth every man that cometh into the world. Now, he brings before us, and that is why Brother Bola said there is something leaning towards official and moral in this word light. Because Jesus is the light. He is the light. God is light and God is love. But the point that I'm stressing is, you can only see the light really of God because the Lord Jesus became a man. So that is what I was stressing. His light didn't begin to be when Jesus was on planet Earth. He was always the light. But becoming a man, we were able to see that light. And the light stressed something of holiness. Now what I'm going to do, I'm going to turn to the book of John, because in the book of John, we have three divisions. No, more than that. But we have three aspects of divine attributes, if I should say that, or God of the nature of God. The first one, we see the Lord Jesus in the fullness of life. That is from chapter 1 to chapter 6. Then we see him in the fullness of light. That's chapter 7 to chapter 12. Then we see him in the fullness of love. That's chapter 13 to chapter 17. Then we pick up in chapter 19, going on to the end, to chapter 19, 20. We see the death and resurrection of Christ. And chapter 21, we see millennial teaching. I am going to dwell on the portion that deals with the light. Chapter 7 of the book of John. Chapter 8, we turn to first. In chapter 8, we have an incident. A woman is caught in the act of adultery. Chapter 8, verse 1. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him. And he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? They said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they, which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the least. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself, and saw none but the woman, he said unto a woman, Where is thine accusers? Had no man accused, condemned thee? She said, No, Lord. No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. This is the first thing we want to look at. The children of Israel were guilty of two things, and we are guilty of two things. The works of darkness, this is the works of darkness. In chapter 8, you have the works of darkness. We are going to see in chapter 9, we have not the works of darkness. We have, sometimes ye were darkness, what we are. And in chapter 11, we are going to see how God answers the boat. In chapter 8, this woman was caught in the very act. This is the works of darkness. There's some things a Christian, when they are saved, they have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love. We have been brought out of darkness, but we can do the works of darkness. So now what the Lord caught this woman in the very act, and the Lord Jesus stooped down on the ground and wrote. And many have said many things. I wonder what he wrote. There is four places in scripture the Lord Jesus, God is found writing. He wrote the law by the finger of God. He wrote on the plaster in the days of Belteshazzar, who had this party and called for the vessels of gold and the vessels of silver and started to dance. A hand came on the wall and wrote, Thou art weighed in the balances and are found wanting. And the Bible says your days are numbered. And the party stopped. and listen, all the music that was brought before him. The man was drunk. He got sober because God stopped the party. The next place God wrote is here. He wrote on the ground and he was writing in grace. He was saying, in other words, probably, I'm just drawing an illustration. For God so loved the world. And he started writing because he says, this woman supposed to be condemned. Then he, when they continue asking him, he stooped down and wrote again. I am going to die for that sin. I'm going to Calvary's cross. And he says, you without sin, cast the first stone. Nobody could have stoned them. You know why? The conscience. The conscience. The works of darkness. And the Lord Jesus had to take care of the works of darkness. It had to be judged. But where it was judged? It was judged at Calvary's cross. So then the Lord Jesus, look at verse 12. After he presented that, he says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So what Isaiah was saying, those who end up in darkness, those who because of their actions, as it were, brought them in the realm of darkness, where the devil, indeed it's the devil is the king of that realm. Indeed, and to realize that man can be extricated out of that realm. He tells us now, this woman is in this realm, just like the children of Israel. God says, in spite of where Israel had brought themselves, in spite of where we will bring ourselves, the Lord Jesus has come as light to tell us, listen, you could come out. You could come out that you can follow me. I am the light of the world. Years ago, Brother Watson and myself, we went to a place called Turks and Caicos Islands. That place hardly had lights. And one night, we decided to go for a walk. We had flashlights. And somehow, the batteries went dead. And you know what happened? We had to walk home. It was pitch black. I tell you, the first time I hear people say you couldn't see your hand. And put your hand in front of your face like this, you couldn't see it. Pitch black. I tell you, it was a rough road. It wasn't paved road. Man, you hit your stump, your toe. We got so, it was so rough. We just, Watson hold my hand, I hold his hand, and we were just trying to kick the drain. It had no drain. No drain. So it was, as we passed, there was bush. And the bush was torn bush. And you hear Watson, ow! I said, what happened? He said, boy, something pricked me. You know, the next morning, we got home, okay, because after we got a little path, there was lights out of the houses, and there was a street light. In those days, it was two cars on the island. Two cars. And to my surprise, one knocked down a man and killed him. I said, how bad you could? What kind of luck this man had? Knock him down. Kill the man. I said, no, I believe that man wanted to kill him. Or the man had no lights on the car. And the man, he couldn't see the man. But the point I'm making is this. When you are in the realm of darkness, there's a lot of things you cannot see. But the light has come. The Bible says the light shineth in the darkness. And the darkness could not comprehend it, couldn't put it out. And he said, listen, now if man need light, God has given light. Man should not walk in darkness anymore. So God said, listen, I have sent light in this region of darkness. So man cannot say, well, I don't know the truth. I don't know if Jesus is real. I don't know all this stuff about the Da Vinci Code and all this foolishness. One man, the new gospel, the gospel of Judas that just came out. A bunch of lies. And God says, what the devil is doing? The devil wants to bring man into darkness. But the true light has shined. True light has shined. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. So this woman, the works of darkness has been taken care of by the cross of Calvary. Let's run quickly. Chapter 9. Chapter 9. In chapter 9 and verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents? That he was born blind. Jesus answered, neither had this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So now, in chapter 8 is the works of darkness, but in chapter 9, it is my nature. It's not what I have done, it's what I am. Because I was born in sin. I was shaped in iniquity. So all of us were born in darkness. And we had, listen, we were not responsible for that. So when they came to the Lord Jesus and said, Lord, who did sin? Why this man in darkness? Why this man cannot see? It's because of something he have done. It's because of his parents. No, it's because we were born in sin. Because we are darkness. That's my nature. So now God have to do something about the works of darkness. And do something about my nature where I found myself in the realm of darkness. Saints, the work of God, the light has sprung up in the Galilee of the nations. It means that Christ is the light of the world. And now, what he's going to do, this man, what the Lord had to do, is not something this man have done wrong. So there's two tracks. Let me explain that. There is two tracks a train run on. They cannot cross, else they will derail. Okay? So what happens? You have man's responsibility and God's sovereignty. Though it cannot meet together, the two go down the line. I am responsible for what I have done. But then after, God's sovereignty is responsible for what I am. Could I explain that again? I am responsible for what I have done. That's the book of Romans. God is responsible for what I am. Indeed, God take it upon himself sovereignly to answer to it. That's the book of Ephesians. Indeed, we are dead in trespasses and in sins. We're living in the realm of darkness. But God has quickened us together with the Lord Jesus Christ. What the Lord Jesus has done. Indeed, God has fused life into us for us to come alive. That's the book of Ephesians. But in the book of Romans, the scripture says, it tells us the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why a person have to come and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord and personal Savior, and bow to him because of what I have done, my sins. But what I am, sin in me, God says, I'm going to deal with it. That is chapter 9. Chapter 9. Realm of darkness. Listen. You know what the Italians will say? Why saying it's true? Yeah. So now, let's go over this again. I want you to get this. My works, what I have done, is darkness. When I sin, it's the works of darkness. Jesus has dealt with that. But then, what I am also needed to be dealt with. And this is what happened in chapter 9. The man wasn't his fault. He was born that way. We cannot blame anybody. But what God says, the Lord Jesus answered rightly. He says, In verse 2, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents? That he was born blind. Jesus answered, neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. That's it. It's exclusively God's work. That the work of God may be manifest in him. And here what happened? In verse 8, the man was put out of every circle. In verse 8, the neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? You see, is this not the blind man? This is not the man who lived in darkness? This is what they see. In verse 13, this is the Pharisees, the religious circles. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind, was in darkness. And it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And he said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I wash, and I do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them because of the work of Christ. They put him out. Let us look at verse 20. His parents answered them. They called his parents and says, verse 19. And they asked them, saying, is this your son who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now see? We know not. Or who hath opened his eyes? We know not. He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. Who it is opened your eyes? Who it is brought you out of the realm of darkness? Who came and lift you up and says, I brought you out? Which operation? Which doctor? Indeed, there was none. You know why? God must get all the glory. All the glory. And God says, and the man who questioned how it was. We know this man can be of God, because he did it on the Sabbath day. But it's an exclusive work of God. When you think, listen, you know why you are saved? Not only because you have laid all upon the responsibility and says, listen, I need my soul to be saved. I need to get out from the realm of darkness. But it's because of an operation of God in your soul. And God says, listen, I'm coming for you. And you cannot stop it. That's the ways of God. And this man's eyes was opened. His parents asked him, which were born not of blood, of the will of man, but of God. This is what God has done. Chapter 11. If in chapter 9 we have the works of darkness, and chapter 10, what I am darkness itself. It tells us in John, chapter 8, I am the works of darkness. Chapter 9, what I am, we were once darkness, but now I light in the Lord. That's what the scripture states. In chapter 11, we have the both coming together. Lazarus is sick. Hear what the scripture tells us. Now, a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the tongue of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, Behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified. Now, the first thing about the works of darkness and being darkness, the deliverance is for the glory of God. But for the glory of God, that the Son of Man may be glorified. When someone is delivered from the works of darkness, the Lord Jesus gets the glory. When we are delivered from darkness, what I am, the Lord Jesus also gets the glory. Lazarus, to save time. Lazarus died. He was in the tomb. He was in a place of darkness. Placed out. But then, the second thing is in verse 15. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent he might believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Thirdly, in verse 42. And I knew that thou, this is the Lord Jesus praying, and I need to go up to verse 40. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Now, the two, chapter 8 and chapter 9, finds itself in chapter 11. Lazarus was not only dead because of the works of darkness. He was dead also because of who he is. But God reversed the boat. Lazarus, when he went to the grave, he said, remove the stone. They removed. Lord, he's dead 4 days now. He's stinking. The Lord Jesus called Lazarus. And Lazarus got up with all his grave clothes around him. The clothes of the works of darkness. And you know what happened? He said, loose him and let him go. And man, they start to unravel Lazarus. And every piece that came off just started to reveal the glory of God. What God has done. Listen. The grave clothes that we carry around sometimes, Jesus says, loose him and take it off. It's the works of darkness. But he brought him out of the realm of darkness. And every Christian, may I turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. Verse 12 says, giving thanks unto the Father, which had made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance in light, who had delivered us from the power or the authority of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Or his dear son, but is really the son of his love. We have been transferred. We have been brought out. We have been brought into a realm where the Lord Jesus, who is the light of the world, he officiates there. So now, a believer, that's why when we get in John, he says, let's turn to John quickly, please. 1 John. First John chapter 1 and verse 5. This then is the message which ye had heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And this is where Brother Bolas was talking about the connection. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses it from all sin. Now, when a believer gets saved, when the works of darkness is taken care of, and the nature, the very darkness itself, where you have been brought, you have been brought into the light. You cannot get out of it. So you are in the light, but you can do the works of darkness in the light. That's why it is said, when a believer do the works of darkness after he is saved, is worse than an unbeliever. Because an unbeliever do it in darkness, but a believer do it in the light. You could imagine floodlights on you. Floodlights. And you're doing the works of darkness. That's how it is. When God has brought you, you have been translated. You cannot take yourself outside the dark, outside of light, and go back into darkness. You are in the light. And the scripture tells you, you cannot reverse it. But you can do the works of darkness. So in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah made mention of the Lord Jesus as the light way before the book of Matthew. So as we go through the book of Isaiah, features of the Lord Jesus is going to occupy our hearts. He is the light. And in closing, chapter 12 of the book of John. And verse 35. Then Jesus said unto them, yea, a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not where he goeth. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. Verse 46. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me shall not abide in darkness. The Lord is going to bring you out, help you to enjoy all that God has secured for us. The light has come. We don't have to stay in darkness or continue in that realm. May God help us as we continue to serve him on this side of the river, for his name's sake. Amen.
I want to express the joy of being here and thank the Lord for how he has given liberty, Brother Brian and Lloyd and all the various dear ones who have participated. I just want to share with you, though, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 for your encouragement, the type of what we have been enjoying. And this is not to take away or anything from what has gone before, but this is to aid us as we seek to serve the Lord. And I repeat, the Lord has need of each one of us. He wants us to live for his glory. He wants us to press on in the work. He wants to use us by his Spirit. And 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, I want to share with you. times as we read the scriptures, we discover that there are some words we don't quite understand or we don't quite grasp what is being said. And I just want to say that the word study, as it is in this verse, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing or cutting in a straight line the word of God, the word of truth. Now this word study is literally translated, use diligence. So it is not your ordinary word for study. It is not simply study, but it means do all in my power to become a workman that does not need to be ashamed. If a carpenter were building this building and he was putting in this strip right around the room and the strip was bandy, he should be ashamed. But carpenters are going to measure and they are going to cut in a straight line. How with you and me as we seek to serve the Lord? The Lord Jesus being seen as the one who is the true sanctuary of God. The one who is the rock. The one who is the sign. How am I going to be able to cut that in a straight line to set it up clearly? It is only as I use diligence. So in using diligence, I've broken it into seven parts. I believe there are other parts. Notice, I have to read the scriptures. If I'm going to be a proper workman, I have to read the scriptures. Secondly, and ignore this idea, I have to apply the scriptures to my own life personally. This is what the brothers have been encouraging you to do. But thirdly, I have to believe those scriptures which I've read. If I don't believe them, they're not going to change me. Fourthly, I have to memorize them. I believe Brother Brian was focusing on memorizing the Word of God a little earlier. Now, I am not one who, I normally do not approach things from the point of view of memorization. But how I approach life is, if it makes sense, then I can follow through step by step. But it is good to memorize the scriptures because it helps. And then I need to meditate on them. I need to sit down many times in the day when it's quiet. I need to make a quiet time if I can't find a quiet time. And as I do this, I meditate on the Word of God. I think it through. I enjoy it and so on. But then we need to share it. When you have to share the Word of God with someone else, you get to grasp it better because you have to set it in order before you tell someone else what you're going to say. So sharing the Word of God is very important in this study that we have here. And then last of all, the word study itself as we know it, to study the Word of God. Now, if I want to read the Word of God, all I need is the Bible itself. But if I'm going to study the Word of God, I need pen, paper, and much more. So when I am studying, I those are the things that I do. So as we have been enjoying these days together, the Lord has been giving us a rich feast. If we are believers, we need to take this Word of God, and we need to make it our own. Thy words were found and I did eat them. When I eat something, it becomes a part of me. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Now, the Lord Jesus himself, as we saw him as the stone and so on, I just want to give you again those three little parts that we were sharing. Actually, I had that with me on the occasion, but I didn't want to take up all the time. And if you look at the little cross stick at the top, the word rock is formed on the left-hand side. If you put a box around this word rock, it helps you to remember he's the Redeemer.
He is also the one true God. He's the one who is God's choice. He's the only one that God presents to us. And God would have all men to honor his Son even as they honor himself. He's the Christ. This means he has been anointed by God, selected for this work. All the things you've been hearing. And he's the King. He's the one in charge of God's kingdom. And as we enjoy those things together, we have had a wonderful time. And may God bless each and every one of you. Carlos, I've enjoyed the summaries and so on and the instructions that have been given. Very wonderful, clear, simple. We could follow them. And our brother, our dear brother, Verrill. Our brother Verrill, right? we appreciate very much how you've organized everything. My friend who has taken care of the sound system, wonderful job. And all of you sisters who have done your part, remember, every one of us is a priest, male and female, every child of God. And I often say as well as I stop, that there are some people who believe I can be saved today and lost tomorrow. Let me tell you, when, if you love the Lord Jesus, when you get to heaven, you'll get a very pleasant surprise, because you will be there in spite of what you believe.
I'll be very short, very brief, not as elaborate as my brother to use it. New technology. Old technology. But the one thought I'd like to leave with us, as we have been here over the week, this weekend, and we have been learning much about the Lord Jesus, and it is found in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. What does it mean to gird up? It means you bind it. If you have a robe and it's open, then it's loose and it hinders movement. But when you pull it together and you gird it with a string, it's held in place and so your movement is not hindered. And this is the same thing that is being brought here by the apostle, that you should gird up the loins of your mind. It means to take control of your mind and don't let it flap around and wander all over the place as we are wont to do. Because as young people, we have a lot of dreams. We sit in here and half the time we are daydreaming. That's all right. I've been through it, and I know it. But what the scripture is telling us is that we must get a hold of it and tie it up. Control our minds, so because the scripture tells us that as a man thinketh, so is he. And as we would think and as we would daydream and have all sorts of things going through our minds, these are the things which will spur or motivate us to actions and to behave in a manner that is not pleasing to the Lord, or to walk in a manner that is not pleasing to the Lord. And so we are told to start from the first principles. Gird up the loins of our minds. Catch a hold of our minds. What are our thoughts? If we are thinking things, let's catch ourselves up and turn our thoughts and our thinking to that which is of the Lord, and that which makes for things which are excellent. Because then, the things we have been considering here over the weekend, they will become real to us. Think about them, mull over them. And verse 15, As he hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. In all that you do, your way of life. You know, when you're at college or at work or wherever you are, the temptation is to be included, to be a part of the group, and therefore we let things slide and we allow ourselves, we compromise with some things, and because we don't want to be seen as different. That comes also as a part of the mind thing. If we have in our minds the full that we belong to the Lord Jesus, and therefore we are different from the world. And if that takes root in our minds, then as we would go, we would seek to have a manner of life that is pleasing to the Lord, regardless of who is around and what anybody else thinks. And we will find that in doing this, the Lord will bless us. You know, I think of Daniel, when he was captured with the other Jewish kids, royal kids, and they were taken to Babylon. They were given the best of the king's table. But Daniel purposed this in his heart, I will not defile myself. No matter how good it is and how it will make me be more acceptable and in the king's court, Daniel and those other three boys with him, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, said, I will not defile myself by eating all of these things and drinking these things, which were not right, because according to God's word, they should not have been eating things offered to idols, which were those things in Babylon. And because he did that, his mind was set on a course that it didn't matter who was around. And you know what? God gave to those who were in charge, the eunuch, God made him to be in favor with him. God allowed the eunuch to give him what he needed. And in the end, God showed that obedience to him, that having a mindset of pleasing him, the result was that they were more robust, they were more healthy than all the others. It's not because of the food, but it's because of their obedience to God. Because of the mindset, the girding of the mind, having the mind focused on that which is of God, the things that are excellent, the things that are pure. And I tell you, young people, if we start to do that, just captivate our mind, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. If we do that, we will have done well.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Lloyd. Thank you, Brother Dave. Brother Brian. We've come to the end of the camp, and I believe that we could just sing that chorus, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus, as we end.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back.
Take the whole world?
Take the whole world, but give me Jesus. You take the whole world, but give me Jesus. You take the whole world, but give me Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
And one last time. I have decided.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back.
Bow in a word of prayer. But before we pray, I just say this. It's easy to sing that when we're all together. It's quite a different matter when we're standing alone. It's not we, it's I have. Let's bow in prayer. Our blessed God and Father, we thank Thee this morning for Thy love towards us. We thank Thee for Thy grace and Thy tender mercies. And we think, as we sing this song, I have decided to follow Jesus, we think of Jesus deciding to do God's will, that He faced the battle by Himself. He faced the harshness by Himself. And it was the one place in the world, in the universe, where God could find rest in the Son. He found His joy and His rest in Him. And we find our joy and our rest in Him too. And Father, we've heard a lot this weekend. A feast that we can munch on for many, many weeks and months to come. But we ask indeed that it will be in our own souls, that as we go off this mountain top, help us not to walk in darkness, but to walk in light. To walk in love, to walk in wisdom, and to do this, we ask that You'll help us by Your Spirit to be filled with the Spirit, speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and making our melody in our hearts to the Lord. We know there are going to be battles. We know that the enemy is going to attack us, but we recognize greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And so we ask indeed that You'll help us, that when we're going through the battles, when we're going through the deep trials and the waters, that we'll look up to Him who is life eternal, that our hearts and our affections might be encouraged by Him, that as we look on Him, we'll be changed from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So we ask that You'll follow all that has been said with blessing in our lives personally. We think of those that we'll meet along the highways and the byways. Help us to challenge the sinners and encourage the saints to move on the path that brings life and life eternal. So we ask that You'll do for us above what we ask or think, as we give Thee thanks. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen. Amen.